The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome. Welcome to Happy Hour again. It's nice to see you all and to be practicing together. And here I am. I'm going to continue on this theme of the inner critic. Like I said, I'm not exactly sure when this will end, but I'm going to be out for a little bit. I'm doing some teaching that requires me to travel. So there'll be some guest teachers coming up. So they probably won't be doing the inner critic. So you'll give it a chance for you guys to do something different. So, maybe I'll start with the obvious. There are reasons why we have an inner critic, right? There's reasons for everything. Nothing just happens spontaneously for no reason, right? That doesn't exist. But it might, some of these reasons might have an impact on us in particular. It might be that there was someone in our life that was critical of us, and they either criticized us directly. Don't do that. You're good for nothing. I don't know. I'm exaggerating. All these terrible things, right? People can say to each other. Or maybe it wasn't ever, explicit yelling at us or anything like this. Maybe it was more just like ignoring us or just looking disapprovingly or something like that. Or feeling like, oh, we just didn't fit in. And so we kind of internalized that as that inner critic. So there's this, there's reasons why it happened. We don't probably can't point to exclusively one, but maybe there is one event or one individual or something that had a really big impact on us. But the point is that it's difficult to stop this inner critic. The origin may be from all these different places, but no matter where the origin is, if it were easy to let go of or to stop, right, we wouldn't be doing this series on loving kindness or this business on the inner critic. So why is it? Why is it so hard or not so straightforward or easy? There's probably a number of reasons, and I'd like to just briefly touch on a few of them. One, it's a mental habit. But, it this served us at some time in our life and we just kept on doing it. It's remarkable how powerful habits can be, right? I think all of us know this. It's really remarkable. We should not underestimate what an impact habits can have. Somehow when we use this word habits, we tend to think like, oh, that's just, we should ignore them. But I wouldn't agree with that. I think if you have a meditation habit, but you also see how it's the habit of the mind to wander away, right? And it just takes time to undo that or to work with that. So that's one reason why it might be difficult to diminish, get rid of, abandon, let go of this inner critic. Two is maybe there's this, not straightforward, not in the front of our minds, but in the back of our minds, maybe it's not even in the conscious mind, I don't know. It might be that we have this sense, there's a little bit of this sense of loyalty to a person or a group. That is, we're a little bit or a lot hesitant to reject the views and values of others. Because it can feel disloyal or disrespectful, or it'll mean like we're an outsider if we don't have the same views and values of others or something like this. So we shouldn't underestimate how powerful that is too. It's a connection to other people. If we inherited it or received it from other people or something like this, or maybe there's even other people who have the inner critic is really active. I know that I've been in social situations where, it's like the small talk is to complain about oneself. Like, oh, I can't believe I did this yesterday. Yeah, I know I did that yesterday. I didn't do this, So it might be that too, but that there's this connection to others. And this connection might be really strong or it might not be so strong, but often that's something that we don't think about when we're thinking like some of the difficulties about this, why it might be difficult to let go of this inner critic. A third reason is that maybe this criticism that we received at an earlier time in our life either was received in the form of a threat or it was in the setting of a threat. Like maybe somebody was really angry. You good for nothing person, or, you know, I don't know what people say of this, but right there, we might have like heard these messages when somebody's angry. So when we are feeling a little bit threatened, then, you know, our system gets activated. And some of the things that we hear when our system is activated, they affects us differently than if we were just calm and relaxed. We all know this, right? That if we, after meditating and somebody yells at us, it has a different impact than if we are afraid they're going to hit us or something like this. So I just wanted to maybe normalize, A, that there's inner critic. I'm only listed a few reasons why it might be there. There's many more. And B, I talked a little bit about why it might be so sticky and difficult to let go of. There's other reasons. Maybe you don't resonate with any of those reasons. Maybe you resonate with all of them. But maybe the main thing I'd like to say is let's not let the inner critic get activated that there is an inner critic. Let's not criticize ourselves for having an inner critic. Or let's not criticize ourselves for that we haven't solved it, made it go away, or something like that already. And we don't need to do that. We don't need to add it on top. So I just wanted to like normalize this for those people who have it, and also normalize the difficulty or the, it's not a so simple to just undo this. It's not like as soon as we see it, we can let it go. It might have been a part of our life or, you know, the majority of our life. And it feels familiar. So another reason, right? This is, it feels like, well, this is what my inner life is like. So again, I'm going to offer some meditation practices in a way that we might, I don't know, like one of these phrases, we'd even have a dialogue with this inner critic. I've talked about this before, the kind of using this fierce compassion. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful. Or with some compassion of like, may this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. So to shift our relationship to this inner critic. These are the ones I'm doing the best I can right now. And I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. As a way to maybe dismantle this potential or propensity of having the inner critic activated when we see that there's an inner critic. So, okay. So with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation. So in our meditation posture, settling in, maybe taking a few deep breaths to connect with the body and the sensations of breathing. Letting the breath return to normal. And letting the attention just rest on the sensations of breathing. And when the mind wanders, just very simply, gently, begin again with the sensations of breathing. When we wake up after having been lost in thought, that's such a great time to bring in some warmth, some kindness, and rather than any criticism, and just simply begin again. Feeling grounded, connected. And tuning into what does it feel like to breathe? Trusting that the body knows how to breathe, or just noticing how it feels. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind someone, some being for whom it's really easy, uncomplicated, straightforward to feel warm-hearted towards, to have some care, kindness, love, respect, whichever words resonate with you. This lovable being can be in the human form, or maybe it's in a furry form. And connecting with this lovable being. Noticing if there's any softening or opening warmth as you bring this lovable being to mind. And then to support the connection and our cultivation of loving kindness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Is feeling into connecting with any sense of warm-heartedness or love or care or kindness towards this lovable being. Can we drink up any sense of well-being that's associated with this warm-hearted connection? It's perfectly fine if you don't feel anything in particular, but if there is, allow yourself to experience it. And then to expand our loving kindness to ourselves. Just making maybe this sphere a little bit bigger. Include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to support our working with the inner critic, taking away some of its authority or believability, we can meet difficulties in a different way. So to practice with this, bring to mind a difficulty in your life, a mild, minor one. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 2 or a 3. And we can say this phrase, may this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. And if it's helpful, we can speak directly to the inner critic. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful. Don't have to use all of those phrases. Maybe there's one that resonates with you. And stick with those phrases that support a sense of openness or ease or well-being. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful. to this idea that we don't need to activate the inner critic about the inner critic. That's right. It's amazing, like, what things that we can do to be critical about. The mind is, you know, very agile and capable. So if the inner critic is up and running and really loud and persuasive, it might even pretend to be trying to help you by telling you, got to get rid of that inner critic. You shouldn't have one, right? So I just wanted to highlight that, you know, it's, we have them for reasons, and there's reasons why it's not so easy to get rid of them. But this is one way in which we can, like, shift our relationship to difficulty so that the inner critic doesn't arise. Or if it does arise, it can shift our relationship to that, to the inner critic itself. So now I'd like to create an opportunity for you guys to talk to one another about some of these ideas about not activating the inner critic, about the inner critic. And also this idea of kind of like normalizing, you know, that it's not so easy. Anytime there's a way of being in the world different, thinking about ourselves different, there's, right, we all know this. There's reasons why we don't always eat the best or go to the gym when we shouldn't, and, you know, all these things, right? It's not so easy to change our habits. So be in groups of three or four, and it's helpful to just say one thing and then let it go to the next person, and then they say one thing and let it go to the next person and they say one thing. So it's tempting in these kind of settings to, like, give a long story or some gory details of terrible things that happened to you when you were younger. This isn't the place to do that. This isn't the setting to do that. No. So instead, this is an opportunity to, like, express some of our care by holding the space for others, and just to, like, talk about this idea or experience of the inner critic being activated about the inner critic. And some ways of maybe working with these phrases that have been helpful for you, something like this. So just say one point, let it go to the next person, they say one point, let it go to the next person, they say one point, and let it come back around. And maybe you have something new to say, having been influenced by others. It can be kind of a delight to have a new idea, like, oh, I never thought about it. You know, look, it can be delightful to do those, have those experiences. So to level the playing field, excuse me, between the introverts and the extroverts, let's go in the order of the last digit of your phone number. Okay, here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to say? How was that to think about this idea of the inner critic on the inner critic? And might there be a way in which we can not let that go? Yes, Aurora.
We didn't really talk about that, but just listening to my group, which was really beautiful, really beautiful. And I've just found these breakout groups, like, so deep and rich and lovely, and the, you know, I was like, well, why is that? Like, why is this topic, like, bringing that up so much? I don't know. It's a question, but it kind of struck me that this is sort of like where we are very intimate with ourselves somehow in this relationship. Or, like, looking at the inner critic, there's some, like, real, like, intimacy with the self that feels different. Say that.
Yeah. And I would say something that's kind of supports that intimacy too is the vulnerability, right? To talk about the inner critic requires a certain kind of vulnerability. When people are vulnerable together, then you feel like there's some authenticity and connection and intimacy.
Right. Well, because you said last time, I think that, like, there's this shame that comes along with it.
Yeah.
You know? And this, like, like it's connected to like what we don't want to be seen as.
Exactly.
So I feel like if we're showing up and just being like, okay, here's everything I don't want you to see, then it becomes this very intimate space.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear this. Of course, I have no idea what's going on in those breakout rooms. So,
I mean, my experience is it's just been very like, whoa, like every time I'm like, whoa, like I feel like this real deep heart connection. So
nice.
I just want to thank you and thank my group.
Thank you for sharing that, Laura.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some hearts showing up. Those nice reactions. I don't know what makes me happy when I see these little hearts. It's such a cute thing. So, okay, so here we are at the top of the hour. So, Raul, did you have something that you wanted to say?
Yeah, I wanted to add something. Yeah, I remember asking for more intimacy or relationship based in intimacy, and I never visualized it to be this. Just sharing humanity with a group of other humans that I never met in person or deeply, but yeah, recognizing how equal we are in this experience. And yeah, I do resonate with that of the vulnerability, regardless of what's going through, just sharing in a safe, loving and kind environment. It's intimate. And I feel like that's a very powerful medicine to soothe the inner critic itself. So
beautiful. Thank you, Ro, for saying that. Powerful medicine to soothe the inner critic. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So let's, if we'd like, we can unmute and we can all say goodbye together. So bye-bye and thank you. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, everyone.
Have a good day, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.